to stand. If you were paying much attention to the news this week, there was a lot of different significant changes in the political realm. And people have been saying, the news has been saying, well, America is going to turn around now. And I hate to break it to you, but our battle in this life isn't against Democrats or Republicans. Our biggest battle is against spiritual forces. So what are we to do? Well, this verse 13 that we've just sort of introduced tonight a little bit is put on the armor of God so that we can stand against those traps and schemes of the devil. That's brought up in verse 11, and then it's repeated once again in verse 13. This is probably a very familiar section of the Bible. Everybody pretty much aware that Ephesians 6 is the armor of God passage. But it is especially true in this day and age to know these concepts that are in these verses. We need to know them backwards and forwards so that we can stand and fight against these demonic powers. So are you ready? Okay. Verse 10. Stand firm, be strong in the Lord, and the power of your own strength. Oh, I read that wrong. Okay, you guys are paying attention. No, obviously, any power, any ability we have to fight any battle would be given to us by God, granted by God. So we never proceed in anything based on our own strength. We always proceed based on God's strength. But this particular command, as we read it and think about it, to move forward in life based upon God's strength, that's not something that typically comes natural. It's not something that is easy. But we have to know that we don't have the strength to do these things on our own. Can anyone give testimony to that? Okay. There have all been times in each of our lives when we could not go on, right? And who carried us along? It was God, okay? Why is this life so tough? Another question to think about. As mentioned, obviously, there's the devil, there's other spiritual powers that their goal in this universe is to corrupt us, is to trap us. But there's also the flesh, which we talked a little bit about this morning, our fallen condition. Even though we are saved, the old man is still there trying to dominate. Galatians 5:17, I think that was in our message this morning. It says, the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another so that you do not do the things you wish. It perfectly highlights this battle against the flesh. And by the way, this battle with the flesh is not unseen. The spiritual battle, that's an unseen battle, a battle behind the scenes. But you can literally sometimes see a person's battle with the flesh in their eyes. Have you ever noticed that? Maybe in their demeanor and their look, you can see their minds are considering whether or not they want to give into the flesh or walk worthy of God's calling. The battle with the flesh is trying to pull us towards sinful things. And in fact, I'd venture to say that many, if not most, temptations are a battle with the flesh. They're not outside influences from the world or the devil. It's the flesh. But the devil is trying to get us to do things as well. But how many think it's the devil trying to get us to eat chocolate? Krista? It's good for you. How many think it's the devil trying to get us to eat fried chicken multiple times per week and French fries and all these things so that we eat so much that we have an issue with our health? I don't think the devil even has to waste time with a lot of those temptations because he knows what our bodies crave. I'm not going to tempt anybody to drink entirely too much coffee. He doesn't have to, I don't have to do that because at 2 p.m. if he doesn't get his coffee fixed, he'll crash. So there's fleshly appetites there, and that's a whole war that we were discussing this morning. But this is a separate war, one that's going on with Satan and his demons. But when you add the flesh to this battle behind the scenes, it makes things pretty tough. Life can get tough. Truly, it can be overwhelming without whose power to help us? God's. And that's why verse 10, I think, is so important. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You see, we will probably likely fall flat on our faces. We will fall flat on our faces if we're not relying on his power. We must rely on his power in order to battle our flesh and also in order to battle spiritual things. There are adversaries and enemies that are supernatural. We are their enemies for one reason. Anybody want to take a guess? Why are we the supernatural's enemies? Just okay. We are followers of Christ. We are members of God's family. We are no longer whose children? Satan's children. We are God's adopted sons and daughters, so the demonic forces hate this, and there is a lot of them.
We have the Holy Spirit. Those spirits can't stand them. They've gone away from God, the Holy Spirit. They've rejected that.
Mm-hmm. Very contrary thing. Have you ever thought, has anyone here ever thought about the size of the universe? Too many times? It's rather large. In fact, the biggest telescopes that they get, even bigger ones, they continually build bigger ones. They launch them to orbit so that they can see farther and farther and farther. They still can't see the limits of the universe. In fact, some scientists I just read last week, they're espousing a theory that the universe is infinite. And this fits with scriptures because the heavens are whose home? The abode. God's abode. Their supernatural beings would also be there as well. And we know from scriptures that there are millions upon millions of angels. In fact, some of the different phrases in throughout the Bible are what? 10,000 times, 10,000, myriads upon myriads in these different languages, and it's not literally 10,000 times 10,000. That was an ancient phrase that they would use when it was a number so large that they didn't want to bother counting it. They would just kind of guess and throw that phrase out. So it's really fits biblically. Both fallen and holy angels, their abode is in this universe. And there is a battle not only on earth between them, but out there, there's a battle all over the place. Now, here's a side note. When Satan does come to concentrate his efforts on this earth, how does he come?
As an angel of light.
Thank you. Did everybody hear that? As an angel of light. I'd argue that that would mean that when he's presenting something, it comes across as godly and good. It sounds good. It seems very appealing. It seems very religious. Coming as an angel of light would mean that Satan is trapping people in what? False religions. It would mean that Satan traps people in works-based religions. It would mean all kinds of things. Somehow Satan, as he comes as this angel of light, he's leading people right past God into believing in works or some other system, some other terrible thing. So what do we do? Verse 10. Be strong. in the power of his might. We've already emphasized the power of his might, but this time we're emphasizing be strong. Did you know that this world is not a world for the weak, wimpy Christian? It's not. We have to be strong. Except for when we look around, it seems like Christians are less committed to their Savior and to the church than ever before, at least at any time that I can remember. When I remember growing up, we had so many workers and children's ministries and junior church that it was sort of like overflowing. And maybe that was just a naive perspective from a 9-year-old, but it never seemed like there was a shortage. And we could probably point to lots of different ministries, and now sometimes it seems like one of the biggest battles here at church is, for me and for various people, is trying to get people to commit to different things. The power and influence of Satan seems to be increasing, while the influence of the church seems to be decreasing. Except for what are we called to do? Be strong. Be strong in the Lord. And the Lord, we can't forget this, he lives inside of us. The Spirit dwells in us. All God's power is available. It's right there at our fingertips. What we have to do is get to it. We have to access it, God's mighty power, and then we have to be strong. Then it starts to get into this detail after verse 13 about putting God's armor on, and we're not going to start that tonight, but we will look at each one of those in detail. Putting on God's armor, this is really how we access God's power, by putting on his armor. But we have power there available, God's mighty power. We have the equipment necessary to fight the battle, the armor. But again, who are we fighting against? Demons, the devil. I have in my notes, pure evil. The devil and a host of fallen angels. I mean, it's pretty intimidating. I'm not going to take a long time to talk about Satan except to say that he's real. Jesus and the apostles understood that he was real. God deals with him repeatedly as if he's real, so Satan is very real. He tempted Jesus Christ. It is Matthew chapter 4, I believe, and it's also in Luke, I think. He is a very significant, I hate to call them ministries. There's things that he's doing. He's blinding people's eyes to the gospel. He's deceiving the nations. These are various phrases that are applied to Satan. 52 times he's called Satan. 35 times he's called devil, which means slanderer. He's also called the serpent, the dragon. He's called a lion. He's called the evil one. He's called the destroyer, the accuser, the murderer. He's called a liar. And so God warns us not to be ignorant of this powerful being, this pure evil, not to be ignorant of his schemes. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, if you wouldn't mind flipping over there. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, just one verse. Ephesians 6:12 is warning us that we do wrestle against, not against flesh and blood. 2 Corinthians 2:11 says, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. We need to be aware that he is out there. Also, if you would flip over to Ephesians 4:27. Ephesians 4:27 says, don't give place to the devil. Don't give place to the devil. He is working to get his foot in the door. And I think I've mentioned this on Sunday nights before, but I like to teach to the youth group students the story of Cain and Abel. And when you get into some of the detailed wording, when God approaches Cain and basically says, don't allow sin to get a foothold. Don't allow him to get a foot in the door. That's what he's trying to do. He's trying to get an advantage, any advantage. He wants to interfere not only in your lives, he wants to interfere in our church. So we're in this battle. In this battle, in verse 12, once again reminds us that it's a struggle. We're wrestling not people, but spiritual forces. So when we are battling those folks who believe in abortion, we've recently talked about that. When we're battling those folks that are killing children, really ultimately it's not necessarily people we are battling. It's spiritual forces that are pushing abortion. I mean, something so evil, it must be. It's spiritual forces that are pushing the homosexual agenda. Okay? And all this other junk. But what does verse 13 say? It says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. So basically, verse 13 is telling us, don't be afraid. Just be ready. Don't be afraid. Just be ready. Okay? When you find yourself smack dab in the middle of an evil day, isn't that the exact wording there? Have you ever found yourself smack dab in the middle of an evil day? My son Tommy was having one of his a day like that today. He must have bit his lip or something, or he said he had a canker sore. And we went to the barbecue joint, and he goes to bite in. He wanted ribs, and the spiciness of the barbecue sauce, the acid or whatever that's in there, must have hit that spot, and he started crying. And he wanted to eat food, but every bite and everything, he said, I need a piece of paper to communicate because I can't open my mouth to talk. And he had a crayon, and he's like trying to write things with this crayon so he could communicate. He was just having these, like, we felt so bad for him at the table. These tears were pouring out of his mouth. And I said, well, try the cornbread. It's softer. And because he said, I'm hungry. I want to eat something. And it was just, that's the only thing I could think of when you find yourself in the middle of an evil day. And for a child, a small child, a six-year-old, that's an evil day. And when we get up, you know, 30, 40, 50, 60, the evil tends to be much more significant, and it seems to be very, very bad. And when we find ourselves smack dab in the middle of an evil day, which could be any day, right? We need to make sure we have the armor of God so that we can be ready to fight, resist, and war. So God wants us, when the battle is over, when the dust has settled, to still be standing. 2 Corinthians 4:8 is worth mentioning. That's what the end of verse 13 says as well, having done all to stand. He still wants us to be standing. 2 Corinthians 4:8 says, we are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. The enemy is tough, but God's tougher. We can say amen to that one. Okay, we got a few amens. I'm picking on my son Tommy again. The first one was not planned. This one was planned. My son Tommy, he often says he wants to wrestle me. And sometimes he'll sneak up, maybe if I'm sitting on the couch or something. And this is his new line that he's been using. He says, there's a new tough guy in town. And he comes up and he says, there's a new tough guy in town and he's going to get me. And when he makes his move, he's a tough little boy and things like that. I'm not trying to pick on him or anything, but When he makes his move, it's weak and feeble. Okay? He's about 35, 40 pounds, and I'm 185 pounds of pure muscle. And I'm kidding, obviously. I'm kidding. Maybe back when I was 20. I'm not really that strong in comparison to many of you even and others that I know. But to comparison to a six-year-old boy, I mean, I can hold him up in the air with one hand or twist him up like a pretzel. And I'm like, are you sure you're the new tough guy in town? Are you sure? And he says, no, Dad, you're still the toughest. And you see, when Satan makes his move, in comparison to God's power, it's weak and feeble. Compared to God's awesome strength. So when the Bible talks about standing firm, and even verse 14, the very first word is stand. Okay? You can stand firm. Because every move that Satan will make, even though he thinks he's the new tough guy in town, in comparison to God's power, it's weak and feeble. But we have to make sure we have on the armor. We have to make sure we're ready. And in the next few weeks, that's what we'll be doing. We'll be going verse by verse and breaking down the waist of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, and the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, the shield of faith, and the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. We'll be going through each one of those in detail, and I hope it's enough detail so that we can learn some things. Bill, you've been waiting. I've been waiting on you for a while. Go for it. Yeah. Oh, the Catholic Church was taught? Okay. Yeah. Revelation, I think it's like 12:4 or 12:7, somewhere around there, I think it indicates that a third of the angels fell as demons. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think some of those may, depending on... Yeah, he is. He is the prince and power of the air, I think, is the description. Sometimes if I have an inquisitive look on my face, if I'm describing something wrong, you can wave your hand. Krista is usually good to catch me in youth group if I start to say something wrong. Sometimes I actually look at her. Am I saying that right, Krista? So I appreciate that. Is there any other questions or comments? Kelly. Good question. If in case you didn't hear in the back, Kelly says she's heard of people saying to Satan, in the name of God, I command you to leave me. And her question was, do we have the authority to boss Satan around? Very good question. The apostles seem to sort of have a formula like that. The apostles also had the ability to heal people. I'm not sure exactly if that was a special power that they had. There was some other people, I believe this description's in the book of Acts. They were called the seven sons of Sceva. And they were going around, I think it was a money-making scheme more or less, to cast demons out of people. And they would say something like, in the name of Jesus and Paul, I command you to leave. And this demon-possessed individual said something like, Paul I know and Jesus I know, but you I've never heard of. And he ripped all their clothes off, or maybe it was half their clothes off or something like that, and threw them all out the window. So I don't know if it's necessarily as easy as 1, 2, 3. There's an exact formula. And I think as we get through these verses, this armor of God, we're going to see that it's a combination of things in order to beat the traps of the devil, not just a simple in the name of Jesus, I command you to leave. Not saying that I've never said those words at times that I've been tempted. I'm just saying it's maybe not that easy. And hopefully by the end of the next few weeks, we'll maybe have a complete answer to that question. Is that sufficient for tonight? Okay. Mark. Mm-hmm. Wasn't there even, and somebody that is really familiar with the Gospels might remember this, wasn't there an instance where some of the, when they were disciples at the time, they tried to cast a demon out, and didn't Jesus say, this kind requires much prayer? That's another fascinating kind of monkey wrench to throw in there. Yeah, I don't want to, if you call me up, anybody, that you want me to come do an exorcism, I'll probably hang up the phone. No, I might initially do it, but I would come over just to see what was going on. But I'm not giving you any promises. Yeah. Interesting perspective. Thank you. I'll call Pastor Don if there's an exorcism. Go ahead.
Kerry just pointed out in Jude, he says even Michael the archangel didn't argue with Satan. He said, the Lord rebuked you. I'm not going to worry about you. You resist the devil, he will flee from you. No, he flees from the word of God.
Yeah.
That's how we resist.
And wasn't there a battle between angels regarding something with Daniel too? So,
yes.
Something with Daniel, I think. Something like that, and it was all because of this angelic spiritual battle. Bill.
A word picture that I have in my mind of it, Pastor Don, I'm sure will relate to. I'm looking at the armor of God as the whole army is his armor. And a Greek phallus. They were in place, heels locked, 18-foot cirrhosis out, sticking in front of them, in different layers and levels. Nobody could take them from the front. They were all but invulnerable. But what used to happen in ancient times is they would, like we were, someone was talking about, calling out about Goliath,
Yeah. Interesting illustration. I've actually been reading this past week, and sometimes when you start reading things in detail, you find out things that are out there that you never even knew existed. But people, I've been finding they're arguing whether or not this armor of God is, there's always some cultural aspect to it, whether it is referring to the Greek phalanx or whether it's referring to the Roman style of fighting where they had the large shields and the short swords where they stabbed. And then apparently people are even arguing, is it a word picture of some even more ancient cultural way of fighting? And we may get into that, or it might end up being too weird to even talk about. But you never know what you're going to run across. Mark.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So he's still, but later, chapter 12, they have a battle. Then God gives him the permission and the power. He throws Satan out of heaven.
Mm-hmm. I think it was on a Sunday morning a couple months ago that I talked about there's a power structure amongst the angels and the demon, or angels and demons, and Satan is very organized. And I think it was, I read somewhere, one of the pastors brought out that Satan doesn't allow any type of dissension. And that was from that passage where Jesus said, a house divided against itself cannot stand. And that was a really neat explanation. And yeah, definitely, Satan's very organized. Mm-hmm. He's out to get us. Is there any other questions? Bill. And that's a bad, bad deal. So, William has a question.
We're going to go back.
Back.
Okay, because I haven't moved forward yet.
I forgot.
I'm still back, yeah. So, okay. Okay, now, I've heard people say, in the name of the Lord, we pray for this person or whatever it is, and I guess you need to talk on that more because I don't know, quite understand it.
Oh, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus, you were healed and stuff like that.
Okay.
Are they taking on the power of Jesus, or are they, or what is it? How is it?
Well, I think Kelly's question was whether or not we can control demons by tacking on in the name of Jesus, leave me alone or whatever. I believe that's a different discussion than when we pray in the name of Jesus. Weren't we commanded to pray in the name of Jesus?
Yeah.
So I think that's a different thing. But to maybe say in the name of Jesus you're healed, that would maybe be similar to we're trying to take authority that maybe we don't have or an ability we don't have. Personally, I don't believe the gift of healing is even in existence today. That doesn't mean God can't heal people. It's just that you can't touch somebody and boom, you're healed. Okay? Zapping people. I don't believe in that. So, does that sort of answer your question?
So, later.
Okay. Well, it's an ongoing thing.
I was just looking at the word rebuke and finding different verses, and it's never the verses, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ. It's the Lord rebuke.
Okay. Fascinating.
I mean, he used actual verbiage out of the Bible, out of the Torah, to answer Satan with his temptations. He didn't even use his own words at the time. He used words that already were down in prophecy.
Even though every word that Jesus said was scripture. It was direct revelation. Yeah. But I had something in my head. It slipped me.
I was
going to say that. Done.
I have in my mind right now, if I send that guy on television $1,000, they're going to command the Lord to increase my money.
Oh, really?
You see that every Sunday morning. There's two stations where they put them right up there.
The Super Duper Christian Channel. Tina.
Just a couple of little things here. First of all, we have to remember that Satan is not omnipresent, he's not omnipotent, he's not omniscient like God is, but we have to know the Word of God to be able to stand against his tactics. And that's one of the reasons why scripture memory, going to Bible quizzing for years, was so important to me. Because when I battle something, a verse comes to my mind that I can use, I can quote.
Well, not only do we need to not just know what the verse says, we have to know the correct meaning. Where, you know, the Jehovah's Witness or Mormons, they might know what the verse says, but their meaning is skewed. And the other reason why we need to know the correct meaning is because remember in the debate between Satan and Jesus, when Jesus said, "It is written," and he quoted a verse, Satan would say, "That doesn't mean that." Satan knew the Bible just as well. And so that's very important. And I can't imagine wanting to go fight somebody that knows your playbook better than you do. Yes. Yeah. I think it's very important that we study some of these things and do have a clear understanding. Did I ever tell you that story about when I was in Bible college? They were talking about demons. And the professor was talking about water witching. You know, are you familiar with dousing, water witching? And I raised my hand, and there was maybe 100 students in there, and I raised my hand, and I said, "That's not demonic." And he's like, "Excuse me?" I said, "Next class, I'll bring a couple coat hangers in here, and we'll set a pop can on the floor," and I said, "The coat hangers will find it." And he's like, "Oh, do it, do it." And me and my dad have searched for buried pipes out in the yard with that, coat hangers, and I did it. And when I walked over the pop can, they crossed. And people in the class were like, like, they thought I was demon-possessed or something. And he let other students try it to prove that it wasn't just me. And this older gentleman was in there. I mean, we were 19 or 20, so I say older. He wasn't really that old. He was older, you know, probably retired and decided to go back to Bible college. And he was like, he was shaking, and he grabbed those coat hangers. And when they crossed, he threw them. He threw them. And we had a good discussion on what could be supernatural and what is natural. And the professor did finally admit that that must have a natural explanation. But he wasn't sure what it was, and I'm not either. I just know it works. So is there anything else? And he's here. He's here. Did you want to do it?
You deserve an explanation for earlier. And this is an example of a spiritual battle. Ladies, you don't know how much your tongues can hurt. My decision not to do a sign-up sheet and everything was because so much has been done recently for Thanksgiving dinner. Such an awesome job was done. I thought, we'll just let it go easy this time. You have Christmas coming up. You've got Thanksgiving come up. And I wanted to make it so it was not a responsibility that anybody had, so that nobody had the extra weight of having to take care of that. The heart ladies I had talked to about having the bowls and cups and plates and silverware, and that was it. And my intent was just to say, this one time, we'll just let it be, and no song intended, but just we'll just let it ride whatever happens, whatever shows up. That way nobody's responsible for anything and nobody has some extra stuff put on them. And I got mad. Some of the comments hurt, and I got mad, and I responded incorrectly, and I apologize for that. I didn't feel I could lead a song in that frame of mind. And the scripture passage that was next on my agenda, it rebuked me also. So I apologize for allowing, I don't know if that's Satan to have a foothold in the door or not, but I was mad and I needed to go settle down a bit. And I apologize for that.